Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl.
And I'm Liz June.
And this is Neat. Cast.
It's a history lesson with a twist. Twisty twist.
All right. So this week on the episode, I believe we're gonna make a whole episode out of a really good Patreon question. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was a good Patreon question. I'm gonna read it right now. We expanded a little bit upon one of Nicole's questions. She sent us two. I'm just gonna read the first one because we might come back to the second one later.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole. She says, I'm enjoying the latest episode. These two questions came to mind. I'm only going to read the one. Number one, moonshine. When I was growing up, 1980s to 1990s in Virginia, it was illegal alcohol from the Prohibition era or certain parts of the South. With a reputation for tasting bad and possibly making people go blind. Now you can buy it at the liquor store. What qualifies liquor as moonshine? Good question. So, yeah.
We're gonna tell you all about moonshine.
Yeah, so I started looking for the origin of moonshine. Let's start with the word moonshine. All right. So the word moonshine, it's been around since the 15th century, and that is not to be confused with moonlight, which is the first thing comes up when you look at Wikipedia, it specifically says not to be confused with moonlight. That's a little wiki goof right there.
As in just moonlight?
Yeah, just like light from the moon.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty easy to tell a difference.
Right, I mean, but, you know.
Like a big old glass of moonlight?
Yeah, but. but it did, like, originally, it dates back to the 15th century, but originally it was actually referring to the light of the moon. So it was, okay.
Well, that's, all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the light that the moon makes, you know. But later, like, by the 18th century, it came to mean unaged spirits illegally distilled by the light of the moon. So the word moonshine is probably derived from moonrakers. And what are moonrakers, you might ask?
I know that. That is a laser gun from James Bond, right?
Is it?
Is that a moonraker laser? I think I'm right.
You could be right. I wouldn't know.
This is weird. I didn't know this story involved lasers.
Okay. It doesn't yet. No. I mean, maybe in the future, maybe in James Bond world, it does. So the moonrakers that I'm talking about is actually a nickname for people from the rural English county of Wiltshire who were brandy smugglers. They were trying to evade the tax man. Or revenue men, as they called them, they would hide French brandy barrels in ponds, and then later they would come back and they'd take some big rakes and they'd rake up the kegs from the pond. But sometimes they would like the law would come catch them, and when they would get caught, you want to pretend to be the law right now?
Where are we at in the world?
We're in the English countryside.
Oh, okay. I don't want to do an old English person accent. I think I'm going to be bad at that. Anyway, I'm the law. You better not be having illegal alcohol.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're going to do one, though. Oh, well, here we go. Is everybody ready for Liz's accent corner?
No, we were, you know, we was just trying to get we thought if we could rake up you see the moon there in the reflection in the pond, we were trying to rake up some of that cheese.
I think I'm real dumb.
Of that moon cheese. No, for reals.
Just
for
a realsies. Good old fashioned late night cheese raking.
Yeah.
That reads. That clears. All right.
Yeah, we was trying to get that moon.
Did this excuse work?
So
I mean, enough to get a term out of it, I guess.
I mean, that's that was what they thought. They were pretty clever pretending to be big dummies.
You know, is that not? I mean, makes it kind of sad that the term Moonraker now, like for the James Bond stuff, because it sounds really cool, but it's just a big old dumb laser.
Well, they weren't actually trying to get the cheese from the pond. They were just wanted to make the law think that they were dumb. So they would be like, oh, these fools. Yeah. They're trying to get that cheese, that moon cheese, just, dummies.
It just sounds like it should have been, it should have had a cool history, and it just super doesn't.
Well, that's it.
All right.
That's all. All
right.
So by the 18th century, like the 18th century on, that just refers, moonshine just refers to all illegally produced spirits. But then more specifically, in the United States, it's going to refer to the unaged corn mash whiskey produced in Appalachia mostly. So let's shift. We were just in the English countryside, let's shift over to the USA. Why did we make moonshine in the USA? Pretty much at first for the same reason that they were doing it in England. Farms that would have excess grain, if they had a grain mill, they would just distill their supply so that it wouldn't spoil. And it's more profitable to transport whiskey than it is to transport corn.
Right.
Because whiskey's worth more money, I guess.
Well, that was common in a lot of, like, growing seasons, right? Like, because I think this came up when we were talking about Applejack. Like, you just kind of, towards the end of a season, like, that, the end of your crop, you would turn it into booze.
Because it's going to go bad.
Yeah.
For sure. So, what's up, 18th century? Well, here's what happened.
All right.
In 1791... the federal government imposes a tax on liquor made in the U.S. called the whiskey tax.
Oh, man.
So you gotta make it secretly so you don't get taxed on that stuff. They started making it by the light of the moon. But that didn't last very long because people like whiskey and they don't want to be taxed on it. We have like a history, especially this is like 1781, like America started, well, not America, the United States of America started in 1776. So we didn't really like taxes by the English, and we still don't like taxes by our new government. So there was the Whiskey Rebellion, and that tax ended 10 years later in 1801. I kind of skipped over the Whiskey Rebellion because I feel like that could be a whole nother thing we talk about.
We'll go into the Whiskey Rebellion on its own, for sure.
So we're going to skip ahead a little bit. So we got Prohibition. That was really the next reason to make moonshine. And as you know, Prohibition, that was supposed to kind of reduce illegal activity, only increased illegal activity.
Right.
Here are some benefits of making moonshine. If you live in the Prohibition age, well, you can make it in your own house.
Yep.
There's no exotic ingredients necessary. Nope. You just need cornmeal, water, sugar, malt, yeast, and voila, you've got a mesh. And it's cheaper than bootlegging, because if you wanted to smuggle booze, then you'd have to pay those bootleggers.
Right.
So you just make it in your house. There's not a lot of equipment required either. You just need a still, and you can make a still from scrap metal. So pretty good deal, right?
Yeah. Sounds... What can go wrong with that?
Well, here's what could go wrong.
Oh, all right.
So here's a little bit about how it's made and some safety concerns, because to make a still, you need a condenser. And so when we get into the age of the automobile, people think they're getting real, real clever. And they started making condensers out of car radiators. Do you think there could be anything that might go wrong with that?
I mean... just pulling a radiator out of a car and then drinking stuff out the other side? You would assume that was maybe bad.
Right. There might be some substances on that car radiator that could maybe be dangerous.
Some, like, car stuff.
Yeah. Like, for instance, antifreeze.
Oh, no.
Antifreeze produces glycol, and ethylene glycol is toxic to your body, and the way that it metabolizes in your body is that it crystallizes. So it can make crystals in your kidneys and in your pee-pee.
Ouch.
Hurts. Yeah. Probably, I would imagine.
Get the old moonshine and pee-pee.
Kind of like kidney stones. But what was fun when I was researching that is, you know how, like, the internet makes suggestions on what to search next? Mm-hmm. So the one of the search questions that came up is, how can you get drunk off antifreeze?
No. Right?
You can. But I'm very disappointed in you, internet, for asking that.
Oh, come on. That's what the internet is for.
Come on.
There is like a 16-year-old going through every product in their cabinet going, can I get drunk off of this? Can I get drunk off of this? To the internet.
Well, you can get drunk off of antifreeze, but at what cost?
I mean, I'm assuming it would kill you.
It could kill you. But if it doesn't kill you, it's at least going to make some crystals in your kidneys, which are going to be really painful.
You don't want that.
And the other part is that, you know, some lead is involved in making those car radiators. So, and the more specifically at the connections of the plumbing in the radiator, and lead poisoning can cause blindness. So that's where that comes from. Yeah, there is like a little bit of debate, you know, like obviously, yes, if you're using a car radiator as a condenser, there are some risks in that. The moonshine community did clap back and say this was kind of propaganda to make people afraid of drinking moonshine. But it's just that if you're making stuff and it's unregulated, you know, some things can go wrong.
Well, and I mean, we've talked about this in the past. One of the biggest things that goes wrong, that can go wrong, is just if you don't have a way to measure the proof of what you're making, you could drink something that is absurdly high proof.
Right.
Because the amount of alcohol that's produced by the sugars and whatever you're fermenting isn't something you could super duper control.
Yeah.
It's just something that you measure after it comes off a still and then proof down to a drinkable level in most cases.
For sure. So prohibition ended, obviously.
Yes.
Prohibition ended. And actually, moonshine was made legal again, technically, in 2010. But there's a bit of a difference between the moonshine that's produced, like, in your home and moonshine that is on the shelf of a liquor store.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's still, it's never going to be legal for you to make something in an unregistered distillery that hasn't been granted licenses and sell it.
Right.
But moonshine, when we're really just talking about the substance, it's just unaged corn whiskey. You know, now
there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that the selling of moonshine now, we also used to call it white dog, which was just a form. That was what we called like unaged white whiskey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's, to me, it's like, it's just kind of a selling technique. It's like, now moonshine's cool, so let's call it moonshine.
That is fun. Mm. I had a list of nicknames for moonshine.
Let's hear your list.
Okay. So a moonshine refers to both the distilling and smuggling of this thing at night, like by the light of the moon, but also for the clear color that's produced because it's unaged, right, which is really fitting also because the term moonshine was also used in the 15th, like dating back to the 15th century in poetry to mean appearance without substance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's just moonshine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So some other fun nicknames are white liquor, white lightning, white whiskey, choop, hooch, homebrew, shiny, mash liquor, and my favorite, Mountain Dew.
Oh, Mountain Dew.
Oh, Mountain Dew.
It's really funny that they took that and made a soft drink name out of it.
Yeah.
I
mean, I guess it's things that are kind of dangerous to consume.
Well, I think is fair.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not going to take cheap shots at Mountain Dew.
What did Mountain Dew ever do to you?
I don't know. But moonshine is probably pretty safe as long as you don't make it with your car radiator.
Yeah, moonshine that you buy in stores is 100% regulated. It is this put through all the same standards as anything else that's legal to sell in a liquor store.
For sure.
If it's your grandpa or your uncle, like, who's bringing it to the holiday dinner in a mason jar, who knows?
I guess if you trust him.
Yeah. Well,
however you want to segue.
So While we were looking into Moonshine, I kind of went down a weird rabbit hole of something that I found really interesting. And, you know, you bring up cars in relation to making moonshine. I'm going to talk about how moonshine made cars.
Wait, well, how did that happen? Cars making moonshine? Moonshine making cars?
Moonshine is integral to the development of NASCAR.
How?
I'm going to tell you. So, but in order for me to tell you, I'm going to have to take you back to Prohibition.
Oh, we're going back there.
Yeah, back to Prohibition. So, of course, during Prohibition, like you said, people hardly stopped drinking. They just drank in different ways. A lot of homebrew, a lot of bathtub gin. And, of course, in the Appalachian region, they were making moonshine. Now, to get the moonshine into the hands of your customers, you had to deal with a lot of, you know, police that were keeping an eye on these stills and trying to hunt down the people trying to deliver it. So, along with the people making the moonshine, you had the people delivering the moonshine. And this is, you know, we had automobiles at this time. So they basically started updating their cars so that they could outrun and outmaneuver police cars while they were delivering moonshine.
Ooh, risky business.
Yeah. So they would take a normal looking car and just mod the hell out of it. They'd soup up the engine. They'd remove the floorboards, the rear and passenger seats to make more room for moonshine. They'd add heavy duty suspension to the rear of the car to handle the extra weight. And they'd like add a steel plate in front of the radiator to protect from dirt. So these cars were like, a lot of these mods that they made to these cars influenced how we build stock car races even today. As far as like the added suspension and the lowering the weight and adding the suspension and increasing the maneuverability. And these drivers, they were playing a high risk game, obviously. Their job was literally to just outrun and like outgun the cops on a regular basis. But they became pretty like well known, and especially in like the rural South, it was sort of like a weird celebrity circle of these amazing bootleggers, these you know, whiskey runners.
I imagine that can't be really that convenient when you're running from the cops. For to be a celebrity.
That's the thing, like, they couldn't catch these people. They knew who they were, but they weren't caught. And so if you weren't caught, it wasn't, you know, what could they pin on you? But a lot of them gathered a lot of wealth from this. They started being able to just kind of like race their cars recreationally. They would
get really into it.
Yeah, they kind of all would like join up and like have car races, and spectators would show up, and it was the breeding ground for what eventually grew into NASCAR was based out of this fanfare around these people with these illegal souped up cars that would, you know, deliver moonshine. So one person that I think kind of encapsulates this story of like from moonshine to NASCAR is a man by the name of Robert Glenn Johnson, better known as Junior Johnson. So Junior Johnson is from Wilkes County, North Carolina, which was sort of considered a hub for moonshining and for like bootlegging. At some point it was called like the bootlegging capital of the world.
Prestigious.
Yeah. So he was born on June 28th, 1931, to a family of long established moonshiners. Now, of course, 1931, you've only got 2 years left in Prohibition there. So obviously he was not driving cars during Prohibition. His family was hiring drivers. His father spent like 20 of his 70 years off and on in jail. Like his family experienced one of the largest liquor raids in the country, with police seizing over 400 gallons of moonshine at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a huge family, and it said that the only person that didn't spend any time in jail was the mom. So
somebody's got to stay home.
Yeah. But of course, Prohibition ended in 1933. But at this point, much of the surrounding area had developed a taste for moonshine anyway. And of course, as you mentioned there, those pesky tax men that want to make you pay for your taxes on your liquor. So it still continued to be a popular employ of these fast cars to deliver booze. Now, instead of running from the police, you're running from the tax men. But just as important to have those evasive skills. So he started driving at the age of 14.
Wow. Yeah.
So at the age of 14, he began helping the family business. And he became really well known for this. He was really good at it. Like, they're
calling.
They have all these like there's it's. He didn't. He probably didn't originate it, but he became really well known for something like the Bootlegger's U-Turn, which you've probably seen in movies before. You know, it's like where a car just skids and the whole back end just turns around, so it's a 180.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real thing that these people would do to, like, approach a barricade and, you know, the police car or the whatever, the taxmen are, like, closing in behind them. And they just do that 180 because they've built these cars to do it, and then they can take off in the opposite direction.
Oh, my God.
The law enforcement didn't have these cars, so they were stuck. So all these stories of him being
able to do the 3-point turn,
and yeah, they're and they're just gone. You know, they have made their delivery, and somebody is drunk by now. And there's like, you know, all these stories of him like with these brilliant maneuvers. There's one story of him like he was. They thought he had him cornered like with multiple barricades, and he had like somehow he had acquired a siren and a flashing light, so he threw it on his car, and they heard it coming and thought it was a police car or an ambulance, so they cleared the barricade real fast, and he just sped right through. Like, something out of a cartoon.
The history of moonshine is so full of hijinks.
This is a lot of hijinks. And it's like, they knew who he was, but they had to catch him in the act, or they couldn't arrest him. Like, you know. He did eventually go to jail for about a year, I believe in the 50s. But it was only because he had an illegal still. It was not because he ever got caught on the road. But he was eventually pardoned by Reagan. Oh, that's...
Yeah, because that guy just has nothing but respect for you.
Well,
if you avoid the tax man.
I mean, he kind of, you know, like, he rose eventually to sort of celebrity status. So it was, you know, at this point, like, you know... but while he was establishing,
he was just
so good at outrunning the law
and the hijinks. You have to appreciate the hijinks. Like, oh,
he had a siren all along.
You old scoundrel! You're just
well, he was famous for other reasons. So around the same time that Junior is sort of establishing his mythical abilities, there is another man by the name of William Henry Getty France, who was a mechanic by trade. He had moved to Daytona during the Great Depression. And he witnessed, like, you know, all these, like, racers kind of gather informally. They have these races. It's a big spectator event. But there aren't really any overarching, like, rules or regulations. No one's really found a way to turn this into a business yet. So his bright idea is to do that. And so he forms the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing on February 21st, 1948, which is, of course, better known as NASCAR. So, and a lot of current and former booze runners were the early stars of the game, including Junior. He won in his time 50 races in NASCAR. He was like, there was this one description of how often he would win. It wasn't that he would ever win or lose. It was either he would win or his car would fall apart or break down, because a lot of times he was doing his own modifications still, and he was, you know, kind of inventing car parts for himself. So it was a real risky game.
Yeah, these moonshiners, they just love to live on the edge.
But he was really, like, he was very good at what he did. In racing, he didn't have the fastest car. Because even, like, he had, like, a Chevrolet, and I guess there were a lot faster cars on the road, but they were considered more of, like, those are the man's cars. Like, I'm a rebel. I drive a Chevrolet. but he realized that if he drove right behind the fastest car, his car would invariably go faster, and he could sort of slingshot around the other car and win. So he outran a lot of cars that were at base faster than him. And this is something that's called the slipstream effect, which now modern racers use, but he just figured this out by just running races.
That's so cool.
Yeah. He went on to have, there was like this Tom Wolfe article in Esquire in the 60s that kind of blew up his spot, like made him huge, like was all about his wild and wacky life. From that, there was a movie, a kind of fictionalized movie starring Jeff Bridges, but it was more or less based on him. Called The Last American Hero.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty low-key call-out.
But he did eventually come back to booze. In 2007, he teamed up with a North Carolina distillery to produce Midnight Moon Moonshine. So it's one of these you know, like liquor store safe, very regulated moonshines. And it's supposed to be based on the recipe and the flavor palette of what his father originally made.
Oh.
And if you think all of these facts are interesting, wait for my final fact, which is by far the most interesting.
Oh, what is it? I'm so excited.
In the movie Cars 3, there is a car named Junior Midnight Moon that the actual Junior voiced for the movie.
Wow. Yeah, it's on, wow.
In honor of both him and his moonshine. So
full circle.
So yeah, had a whole illustrious career all because of moonshine. And only spent a year in jail, you know.
You know, no big. That was great. Yeah. So, nice. Fucking cool. So, sorry. I'm sorry.
Where would we be without Nat's car?
I don't know. You know. Maybe don't know. Just we wouldn't be watching cars go around a track a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's fun. It's a fun NASCAR history. Yeah. I like NASCAR more now that you told me that story.
Same. I do too. And I like that it kind of started out as this weird rebels sport. Like, it's, you know, it was very much like these were poor people that were doing this. These were poor people that were bootlegging. They're poor people that were moonshining. And this is what they, you know, they had to do to keep their little businesses alive. Like,
yeah.
So it started out as a very much like a rebellious, like lower class sport and culture, and grew into what it is now.
Well, rad. Cool.
So there's moonshine for
you. There's moonshine. That was really cool. And thank you so much again for your question, Nicole. I hope we answered it. And I'm sure we'll talk about moonshine again sometime. There's a lot to talk about there. Yeah. There's a lot of directions we could have gone. So we just went with... We just went with how we were feeling. We let the light of the moon guide us.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So thank you, Nicole. And thank you to everyone who's donated to our Patreon. It's really, really cool of you. We've gotten a few new ones recently, too, which is really exciting because we also... are super excited that we're on iTunes now.
Finally.
So, oh my God, finally.
Hopefully, maybe you're listening to us right now on iTunes.
Maybe you are. And, you know, and now you've caught up to the present where we are now actually on iTunes. All those episodes you heard before, not originally on iTunes. Now they are. But now you are here with us in this moment. Except for we recorded this in the past. Okay, so if you want to get your question possibly answered, well, we will answer all of them eventually, but if you have a question for us, all you have to do is click that link to our Patreon in our bio, or not our bio, in our show notes, and then you can send us a question. And we are also going to be adding exclusive content to our Patreon pretty soon, so look out for that. That'll be exciting. Thank you to everyone who tweeted about the show this week. And some of those are Boozed Up and Gaming, Austin Wills, woohoo, Kat, Pat McCulloch, Justin,
oh,
and
that Justin,
that Justin, and Sydney, Justin, yeah. And Sydney, Natasha, Mary Smurl, thanks, and
she's good about that.
Yeah, what?
She's good about that,
and she made a mom tail.
She did,
and she posted it. It looks so cool. Proud. We're proud of you. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Neat the Boozecast. Thank you to Absurdist for our theme music. And thank you for listening.
And if you like what you hear, you can do us a favor and give us a little rating or review on iTunes.
Yes, subscribe, rate, and review. That really helps us a lot.
I've been Taylor Smurl.
And I've been Liz June.
And this has been Neat. Let's go drink some moonshine.
Okay.